Book of Psalms, chapter 84. Let's be praying for those that are not here, that the Lord would touch them and help them. I want you to stand with me for the reading of the Word of the Lord. It's good to see Brother Arnold and them here with us this morning. And good to see my friend Gene back there in the back. Amen. And been a long time since we saw him, and so glad he's here with us in the service this morning. You found your place in the book of Psalms, chapter 84. Say amen.
Amen.
Verse number 10 said, "For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord is a sun and a shield, a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly, from them that walk uprightly." Amen. "For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand." And then he went on to say, "I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked." And if the Lord will help me, I want to preach on days or tents. It's up to you. Days or tents. Would you stretch your hands toward heaven? Ask the Lord to help us. Father, in the wonderful name of Jesus, I come before you. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, let's give him a praise right here. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated. It's a very familiar scripture. David begins to inquire of the Lord at the onset of that chapter. And he begins to tell God, "How amiable is thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts." He said, "My soul, yea, even fainted for the courts of the Lord. And my heart and my flesh crieth after the living God." And David begins to tell, and he said, yet how he begins to long after God. And if every Bible reader in this building is very well acquainted with the setting of these scriptures, and know that oftentimes David, in a run and a fret for his life, in a time when he began to feel the pressure of the enemy and the powers of the forces of the enemy, not just in flesh, but in the devil realm as well, began to hone down upon David. And somehow or another, David began to feel, if I could just make it to church, if I can just make it to the house of God. You see, there's just something about the tabernacles of God that they are so inviting. Amen. I'm telling you, there is so many people who have downplayed the church and have downplayed the house of God and have made it until where it is nothing, and has made it until it's just no more than a normal building. But can I tell you that the house of God is more better than the courthouse? It's far greater than the hospital. It's far greater than any place that you can even imagine. I'm telling you, in the midst of battle, in the midst of conflict, in the midst of trouble, David didn't say, "Give me a cave." He said, "Give me the house of God." All that men would have a reborn love inside their heart again, for the love of the house of God, for the love of worship.
worship and put a lot of praise. God, give us another rebirthing of a happiness and of a contentment and of a peace to want to live in thy courts again. Hallelujah. I want to hurry here. My strength, it may not be altogether the same this morning, but I do want to get what I feel on my heart off. You see, David said in thy courts, he said, I'd rather have one day than a thousand days. He said, if I had to pick, he said, I'd rather have one full day of joy. Amen. What did he say in Psalm chapter 1, in Psalm chapter 16, and verse 11? He said, in thy presence is fullness of joy. You know the reason we're sad, and the reason we feel empty, and the reason we feel worn out, we're not in the presence of our God. For in thy presence is fullness of joy. Thank God Almighty. It is the sum of happiness. It is the total joy. It is the peace that surpasses all understanding. The presence of God. Amen. I see a weary pilgrim, a weary traveler, a man burdened underneath the load and the strain, reaches into a place where he decides, my remedy is not another sword. It's not another battle. It's not fight. Come on here now. Thank God Almighty. My remedy is in the presence of God. I don't know how to say it, but last night when I walked out of that hospital about 3 o'clock in the morning, the Holy Ghost spoke to me. He said, in my presence there is fullness of joy. I want to tell you the reason sin runs at an all-time high, and the reason that the enemy is making havoc of much of our lives is the emptiness of the presence. It's the emptiness of the presence of our God. You see, discontentment is born in a loss of joy. When joy is gone, it becomes the breeding house of discontentment. When joy has left a man's heart, he then becomes contentious. Nothing sets with him. Nothing makes him happy. Nothing makes him at peace. He's not only at war with himself, but he is at war with anything and everything. Great God, I'm telling you, in this house, where is the sum of joy? Where is the peace? I want to ask you a question. Is the presence of God near your life? Or is it just a form of religion? Thank God. Everyone I preach, I want you to know something. It's more important for you to have peace and the joy of the Lord than it is for you to claim gifts, than you to claim interpretations. It is the presence of our God. Pray, honey. We ain't working together here just yet. We got some folks that are seeking God for gifts, and they don't even know how to stay happy. We got folks that are praying, give me the power, and they don't know how to stay content in the midst of conflict. Thank God Almighty. Tell me while I preach. You might forget this, but David never forgot it. No matter how sore the battle was, no matter how great the pressure was, he said, never let me forget thy courts, O God. Oh, how admirable, how lovely, how adoring is the house of my God. on this Sunday morning. I wonder how many of us rolled out of bed this morning and the first thing that crossed our hearts was a sweet melody. Oh, I got religion. Come on here now. I mean, hey, we'll find some kind of radio station, pop in some kind of Sunday morning music to kind of get the blood circulating. But David said, oh no, in the land where I dwell, it is pressure, it is fighting, it is discontentment. I'm always on the forge of pressure. I'm always fighting something. I'm always up against something. But mister, can I tell you that when David looked at his heart, he saw his joy intact with God. It didn't matter what the body felt. It didn't matter what the enemy said. It didn't matter how many battles he had to fight. He said, my love for that place will not have a cold fire. Will never be tarnished by the pressure that I'm under. I'm going to reach here just a minute. Some of us, the house of God is a wonderful haven when things are content in our lives. But David found God's house as the only prescription to make him feel better. Come on here now. Are you listening to me? He found it as being the only remedy that could get him out of the slump he was in. Great God, how powerful. Great Lord, I feel like preaching. Hallelujah. How powerful is the house of God? I want to tell you just a little bit how powerful it is. You can drag your old wore out body into this house and it'll pick you up. You can bring your battle in here and he can solve it right inside the house of God. You can bring your discontentment and walk out contented. What is the house? I do not know. But it's more than wood. It's more than building. It's more than this. It is the dwelling place of my God. The God Almighty. I said it's the dwelling place of my God. Help me out. That's why he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Why? It's the house of God. It's the place where the battles won. I don't want to lose it. How strong is this building? It's strong enough that you can bring your problems and it'll never weaken her walls. Hallelujah. It's strong enough that you can come and bring a mountain of terror and the sides of it will never blow. For in thy presence is fullness of joy. You know my God, you know what I'm trying to tell you. You can bring your broken home and there is a prescription in the house of God. You can bring your tattered life and there is a remedy in the house of God. You can bring what's ailing you into the house of God and there is a remedy. You have spoken haste and ran your mouth until now the battle is sore. Why? Because I've turned my face to my battle than my face to the house of God. Come on here now. Did you get tight for old fat boy here? Ain't been but hardly 10 minutes into this. But you hear me in this building. Much of the reason that we are afflicted and much of the reason that we are in jealousy and in bitterness of soul is because in the midst of our battle, we rather magnify our wound than we had to find a remedy. When David made the statement, he said, "Hallelujah, it's thy house." I want to tell you something. Look it up. He said, "How lovely, how precious, how glorious, how inhabiting is thy house." If I could just get to church, hear me in this house. I said, if I could just get to the house of God, I can find an end to my trouble.
You see, men have often, help me now, have sought a remedy. But when it's all boiled down and nothing else matters, every highway points back to the house of God. After your testing, after your midnight crying, after your longevity of weeping, after the giving up feeling, after the wore out feeling, after the compromise of the devil saying give in and just quit, it ain't worth it, you can't overcome it, it's bigger than you are. I want to tell you what David said. He said, in thy house, oh great God. I want to tell you why David said he loved the house of God, though transgressed in adultery and though commit murder and lie. He said, if I'm to have a remedy, it's not going to come from a battlefield. It's not going to say, God, I feel the Lord. It ain't going to come from your fighting. It's going to come from your surrendering. If you can learn to surrender, God's going to give you the victory. I feel something here and I don't want to lay hands on nothing. You mess with it, I'm going to talk to you. You can't hide. This battle ain't just a battle. I want to tell you something. When a man's willfully entangled in a battle, when he's willfully given over to the pleasure of the devil, there's more than just a fighting of a battle and of a spirit. There's a chain and a lock involved. How come I can't overcome jealousy? Last week while I was in the country of Dominic, week four last, let me say, while I was in the country of Dominic, while we were there, I was praying one day, and the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, jealousy is not only a battle in spirit, it will turn into a possession if they allow it to go further and further and further. Oh, come on here. How do I win? I want to tell you how you win. Number one is fall in love with Jesus again. Thank God, I'm going to lose my voice right here on the first morning. Thank Lord. How do I overcome? I want to tell you how you overcome. He's already given you the victory one time. And he said, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherein Christ has made you free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. That thing is a bondage. That's why it's on you like it is. That's why you can't shake it. That's why you can't get rid of it. That's why David said, Lord, if I can get to church, if I can get to the house of God, I can find refuge and help in the time of trouble. For you see, there's just something about the house of God, and I want to hurry here. When he falls in love with it, he not only sees it as a building of worship, he sees it as a haven and a place of rest. I've rested in thy courts. I have found peace in thy courts. And in thy house, it's in thy presence. It's hard for a man Well, let me just say it a little plainer, can I? It's impossible for a man to say he has Jesus and be unfaithful to church. When you see people that ain't faithful on a consistent basis to the house of God, mark it in your little black book. This little fat preacher said they know not the fellowship of His Spirit. Come on here now. Hallelujah. Come on now. I've seen some people, they say, man, I love church. Yeah, they love it upon their lips, but they don't love it in their actions. Oh, come on now. I just swung out way deep, and some of you just backed off and left me. But the reason you backed off and left me is because I found that your love for Him is impossibly true. It cannot be true. But how can you love Him and not love His dwelling place? Oh, thank God. I want to tell you something. I ain't got time to preach it. But when Solomon built that temple for God in the book of 2 Chronicles, he began to pray chapter after chapter for God's presence to be in that house. I want to tell you how important it was. It was important enough that they built it high enough that whether a man could see it or not, if he could just look in that direction, there was refuge, there was safety in the house of God. I don't mean to be mean, but I have got too much. I told the Lord the other day, time's passing me by too much. I ain't got time to waste. The reason you hang your head in preaching when it's going against your grain is because you're backslid. When a man falls in love with God, he loves everything about God. Amen, somebody. I said he loves everything about God. When the requirements of being faithful is put on the table, he salutes it and says, yes, sir, I'll be faithful. You better mark it in your little black book that God doesn't call nobody faithful who is not faithful. When David said, how amiable, I must hurry. He didn't write this sitting on the pew. He wrote this off wishing he could be there. He wrote it as in stating, thy house, O God. For you see, sometimes sitting in this building doesn't have to have music. There's just a hollow about this place. That when you get in here, it seems to bring an awe to the soul of man. We got our saddleback churches. We got our purpose-driven lives material. And we got all of our curriculum that teaches us to love God's house just any way we want to. But David said, not me. I want to adore that house. You know what that Bible says, brother? If a good man of the house, knowing what hour the thief would have come, he would have not suffered his goods to be spoiled. You know what that lets me know? If the devil's taunting you and messing with you, if you know it, why ain't you doing something about it? Hallelujah. If you know the devil's tempting you and trying to take away every bit of the joy, man, I better get back up there. It's too tight down here. You mean to tell me that I'm going to stand right here in this house and let everything in my life just come to shattering pieces? I want to ask you a question. How can it come to pieces if God's holding it together? Hey, honey.
Thank God. I'm asking a question in this house. How come we fret? How come we worry? Why don't we cast it into the hands of a God that's keeping the tabernacle, that's keeping the place of worship, that's keeping our soul intact with God?
I don't want to deal with it just yet, but if I have to, I will. You didn't just get tight. You got tight because your love is convenient. It's what surrounds you that makes you feel like you love Him. You know when the real shouter shouts best? It's in the fire. You know when the real shouter shouts best? It's in the lion's den. You find them a dime a dozen that can shout while on the mountain. Give me a man that knows how to shout in the furnace. Give me a man that knows how to shout in the lion's den. Give me a man that knows how, great God, when his world's on fire and his back's against the wall and the devil says you're going under, but he keeps smiling and said, I can't go under, we're going over. I'm telling you, in this house, that's what David said. I'm in a battle, but if I can make it to God's house, there is a haven. I can find strength in the time of trouble. Turn with me. Hallelujah. What's the matter with us? I'll tell you what's got wrong with us. We chose our tents over our day. I said all of that, not even bumped around my title to the close of it. But you hear me? You listen to me. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. And as sad as it to say, we are living in an hour when men are choosing tents over days. I feel like preaching. Do you feel like the Holy Ghost talking to you? What are you living in? Twice I've been preaching and the Lord's drawn me to you. A tent. Is that where you want to go? Is that what you'd rather have? The devil's driving his stake in your tent and he's going to keep you there. If you don't shake yourself and get out of it. A tent or days? When David said, Lord, a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. And I got a feeling that the reason he said that, because how long have you been in church? Can you help me here? How long you been in church? Huh?
I'm alive. I'm alive.
When a man has only a day, he cherishes the moment. But there's something about being in that thousand, he'll get careless. That's church, so what? Brother Noah's just going to preach to me. You ain't listening. How long you been in church? Huh? Come on, talk to me. How long you been?
11.5 years. 30 years. About a year and a half. About 35 years.
How long have you been in church?
About 20 years.
Answer me one question. When you've not cherished the day, but lived mostly on the thousand,
Where did your carelessness get born at? Huh? You listening to me? Come here just a second. Where did you start getting cold at? Was it in your battlefield? Or was it when you took it for granted, I got 1,000 days to sit here? You ain't going to help me, are you? How come some of you ain't got the baptism of the Holy Ghost? It's because you got 1,000 days and that's all you look at. But he said one day, he said, I'd rather have that one day and be in complete joy and submerged in complete peace than I had to live 1,000 and go careless. And grow unconcerned. He said one day is better than 1,000. I feel something in my soul here. Tell the honest truth. You've laid down snuff, coke, or dipping, or whatever you call that stuff, too long ago. But it's been battles in them 1,000 days. But cherishing that one day, I ain't got time to worry about small stuff when I only know I got one day with God. When I know that today's my day, I got to get it today. I got to have it now. I've got to move with it now. If I'm going to get help, I better get it now. One day in my court, I'd rather have it than 1,000. What are you trying to say? He said, I don't want to be abusive of the many days. Let me cherish that day. Let me love that day. I'd rather be in the God's house. I'd rather be in the Lord's house than I have to live in carelessness. Tell the honest truth, if you will. Some of you are fighting greater battles in your life right now. And you know you're not even saved. And if you died today, you'd go into hell. But you're going to stay in that pew. You're going to stand there and look at me. And you're going to know I'm preaching the truth. And you're going to choose tomorrow over today. You're going to choose tomorrow and its pleasure and its tent over today. Behold, today, I've given you today. What will you do with it? Will you turn it away? Or will you choose tomorrow that will not be promising? For yea, I say unto thee, today is right now. Today is right now. Today is your choice, not tomorrow. For yea, I say unto thee, I have given you today, saith the Lord. What's this church going to do with Sunday morning? Today. Won't you look at me? Won't you look at me? Listen to me close. Some of you men better get a backbone about you that you're going to stay saved if your wife don't. Some of you women need to get a backbone about you that if your husband decides to quit, you're going to keep going. I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet. We've had a few to backslide.
I was praying one long ago, and I was weeping over it. And the Lord came to me, not to rebuke, but as to say, I've already told you. A little better than 3 years ago, I listed off 8 names in this building that the Holy Ghost told me that if you don't straighten up, you're fixing to be out. You realize there's only 3 names left. And then you want to say he's not fair? He's given you 3 years. Tighten up. I was praying about it, Brother Stanley. And the Holy Ghost came to me and said, I've done the same as I've done for Jezebel. I gave her space and she didn't repent. So the ways of the Lord are not unequal. The ways of the Lord are not unequal. They are fair. They are fair. He's a fair and just God. But it's you that are abusing your day. You're choosing tents of bitterness, tents of jealousy. Man, I wouldn't grip a microphone in my hand. I wouldn't stand and declare I was anything or anything at all. I wouldn't preach. I wouldn't say nothing if I knew inside of me I was choosing tents over his day. Let's get a little twisted right here. But it ain't because the Holy Ghost has left. It's because we're at a moment of decision. We're at a time when the Holy Ghost said you're going to choose today for the tent. What's in that tent, preacher? It's a chamber of darkness. It's an entrapment of a battle that you may never recover from. It's a fall that you may never come out of. David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper. Do you know, Michael, that the doorkeeper was the lowest position in the temple work? You realize that? But he said, I'd rather be that and be content than I had to live in the tent of the wicked. I saw a young girl come to the piano real quickly, and I closed. Somebody showed me a preacher's daughter that I knew well. And I'm not going to call his name because everybody in here would know him. Some of us would say that are liberal. He's not backslid. He's pastoring a worldly church. Are you listening to me? He's got a, what do they call that, a goatee? Huh? His children that used to dress holiness look like harlots. If you don't want to be classified as a harlot, quit dressing like them. Do you know that gawky and flashy clothing is the first markings that the world looks for harlotry? It's a red light district. To see if they don't look that way. Should it be a reproach to even be in the house of God? But you hear me in this building. My wife and I has heard that girl sing in the glory of the Lord. Upon her. She's getting married. She's opening now for Faith Hill and some of them other, I don't even know their names. So listen to me, young lady. What is my youth? It's the choosing of day or tense. Brother Ollie Dyson was a very fine guitar picker. One night, sitting in the hospital up there, was in the ER by ourselves, back there for probably about 40 minutes by ourselves. There's things he told me that'll go to my grave. But he told me this one thing. He said, I failed as a father. He said, I should have never done what I'd done. I sat there and just listened. I didn't try to butt in and say, oh, no, no, no. I let him unload. He told me, he said, preacher, I wish to God I'd have never seen a stage anywhere but in the church. You're leaving me, but I ain't leaving you. For them are just tents. They can pack up and leave you in a moment. But I'd rather have a day in a house that's unmovable, unshakable. I'd rather know that my day there today, if I need it, it'll be there tomorrow. Then I had to go back and look and wonder, where did it go? Come on, look at me, sir. Look at me, young man. Look at me, woman. That's the reason you're unhappy. It's because your tents keep moving. They keep shifting. They keep turning. But David said, give me a doorpost in one day, and I'll be happy. It's tight in here. But I'm afraid in our holiness standard. Come on, Bethel, look at me. In our dressing, we look good. We act good. If you was to walk in this building, you'd say, man, I got it all together. But it wasn't but last Friday night, 2 weeks ago, that the Holy Ghost spoke in this building. So I'm going to put my hand around the tree. And I'm going to shake it, and everything that's dead is going to fall off it. Look around. Look what fell off. Are you going to be next? Pray, Angie. It's getting a little bit strange here for old fat boy. It's going to take more than your hair. It's going to take more than your clean face. It's going to take more than your dressing. It's going to take you making a choice. I'd rather be here than I had to be out there in the tents of the wicked. I'd rather dwell in the place of safety. For you see, there was something about the house of God, and I close, that David said, Lord, if I could reach that place, the aggravation of pressure that I feel right now in your presence, my joy can be reinstated. My peace can be given back to me. Hallelujah. Open up this altar, if you will. Where am I? Where am I? Am I in the point where I'm choosing tents over just that one day? What am I going to do with now? See, that's the Holy Ghost spoke in this building. I'm giving you today. Is that what you're going to do, sir? You're going to just keep digging out, redriving them stakes, picking up and moving from one temptation to the next, moving from one battle to the next? Some of you ladies ain't listening to me. I want you to look in this little fat face of mine. I love you to death, but jealousy will carry you to hell with long hair and long sleeves. You hear me? It'll do it. It'll kill you dead in the grave. You better win the battle today. You better get over it today. You better surrender to His day. What is today, preacher? It's the accepted time. And I close with this verse right here. For He said, thou wilt show me the path of life. And in thy presence is fullness of joy. And at that right hand is pleasures evermore. David said, at your right hand, everything I need to make me happy is right there. While men scrape for dollars, prestige and power, he said, just open up your hand. And that's all I need to make me happy. God tells some of us, we tell the Lord, I'd rather get by on meager fare. When God shakes the bottom of the bread basket, He shakes us and we just about fall out because we ain't got no bread. Instead of staying Naomi in the house of God and wait until bread comes home. I just felt something. I want somebody right now. Step out. I don't care what anybody thinks about you, says about you, or what they feel about you. I'm giving a life call to somebody right now. Choose today. For tomorrow, you may not be able to get out of the tent. I'm not going to come and pray for excuses. I'm going to pray to get out of this tent. And I'm going to pray to get a hold of God. I got three right here. And there's some more I can walk through this building. And I'm wondering why you ain't moved. You know why? Your pride's going to keep you there. I listed off a couple of things that you know are like cancers eating at your soul. But you're going to say, I'll pray about it. I've been praying about it. I'm trying to pray about it. But you ain't won. Because when you woke up this morning, it got on you again. Tents for days. Father, in